Well, okay. Let's get going. It's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock Mountain Time. It's 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Welcome to the next Q&A. We got tons and tons of questions. JJ and I are here. We've been getting other questions in all different ways, and obviously we're psyched, and it's amazing to see what's going on now that we have done a full 3 weeks of this. JJ, welcome.
Thank you.
So, why don't we start with a couple of the questions that were written in, and then we can take some live questions, and we'll go from there.
Okie dokie. All right. So you want to start with the very first one?
Sure. Should I read them, or do you want to?
You can read them.
Okay. So, hi, Jackie and JJ. I listened to the recorded Q&A a few times. It was very informative. You're really fun and easy to listen to. Thanks so much. Would it be possible to get a little guidance now? I have questions that arose from the session and from the fact that I just completed week one. I'm a big emotional eater and night muncher. I'm doing 90% better than I was, but I have yet to hit the 100% that I need to get to. I have a lot of stress. Who doesn't, right? But really want to be healthy and a better weight. I'd like to lose 10 pounds. I'm having the shakes, added the MediBulk, and I love them, added the fruit and coconut milk. I'm eating one meal, protein, veggies, and the starches listed. I drink a lot of water. This is a long question. My obstacles the first week were I was hungry at night, didn't weigh and measure protein and starches, not sure I ate enough protein, think I ate too much quinoa and brown rice pasta, only 2 servings of veggies a day, nuts in between meals, sugarless gum and hard candy. I don't know how much hard candy. Little cheats on my husband's junky food. This is a big improvement over what I was eating, so I do feel better and the bloat is gone, but I haven't lost weight. In fact, I've gained a pound, so it's hard to be so perfect for me. I go a little crazy at night no matter what time I've had my shake. Also, I work 2 jobs. I work Friday and Saturday nights in addition to my full-time job in education. I get hungry these nights, but I've already had everything allowed except for extra vegetables. Trouble is I don't want more vegetables at 9 o'clock on a Friday and Saturday night. Also, I haven't started taking my supplements. I have to be very careful with my income. In the phone call, JJ mentioned some B complexes. These are the supplements listed in the cleanse program. She's also mentioned chia seeds. If I were to start with 1 or 2 of these, which would you recommend? Thanks for your time and details you can be specific with. Best, Susan.
Okay. Number one. Okay. No one likes a perfect person. So forget the 100%, but let's get to 95%. If you first off, you need to turn around and say, I'm a rock star, because it sounds like you came a long way, okay? So as far as I'm concerned, I like to see, if you look at how I set up the cleanse, I did a kind of like intro week before you jumped into the cleanse. It almost sounds like that was more your intro week and that you should extend the cleanse 2 more weeks, because you needed to kind of look at all your bad behaviors and get a handle on them. And now you've looked at them all, now it's time to get a handle on them. And as you can see, one of the things that you really need to do is plan ahead and make sure that you are getting optimal protein. Because when you tell me that you're not getting enough protein at your meals, that you're not eating enough vegetables, and you're hungry, well, then I go, okay, well, wait a minute. I don't know if you're hungry because you weren't getting enough vegetables, you know, and you weren't filling it up, getting your protein in, or what, okay? So first thing is, know that you really want to plan ahead and build these meals correctly. If you're going to err on the side of, you know, first of all, you can't eat too many vegetables, all right? Can't eat too many non-starchy vegetables, but I'd rather see err a little bit on that side in the protein than under, because that will make you hungry. Protein is very satiating and very thermic. My gosh, look at that crazy Dukan diet. I don't know if you've looked at that, Jackie. It's insane.
It has you
eating protein all day long, because when you do, you're not hungry. I mean, that's what we know. It's very satiating. I also want to stress that there are foods that are trigger foods. For me, that would be the almond butter at Trader Joe's with the flax seeds in it. Okay, I know that I cannot have that in the house. I can also not have the creamy with sea salt. I mean, I just can't do it. I'm just like, you know, it is honestly like a drug for me. And the thing is, too much healthy food's not healthy. So if there's something for you that's a trigger, and I find for so many people, and I think it's because it's like the forbidden fruit, all these nuts that they go insane with them at first, I do find that calms down, because you get, I mean, at some point you're like, ew, you know, I can't look at this anymore. It's like, blech. But if they are a trigger for you, then you just can't have them. I mean, they just have to go away. So you'll have to get the triggery foods out because too much unhealthy food is not healthy. You have to plan ahead because it looks like some of this is you're not planning your meals enough, and then all of a sudden you get to nighttime and you're hungry. But the other part is it also sounds like, you know, and this is a woman thing. I think you can relate, Jackie.
Oh,
is
sure.
Like, what are you doing for yourself? So you're working two jobs. And I don't know if you have kids or anything else, but, you know, you're working like crazy. You're stressed out. So it sounds like what you're doing at night to take care of yourself is cheating with food. Instead of, say, these are the things I do to take care. I mean, it's like I take a hot bath. I will I read really ridiculous chick lit. But you have to find things that feed you other than food, that feed your soul. Anything from, you know, I've got my little dog who's going to dress up as a hot dog for Halloween, by the way. I put it on my Facebook fan page, and I got him.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. He's going to be a hot dog. So apparently the kids figured out. They said, you dressed her like a slut last year, Mom. I guess she was a French maid. So this year she's a hot dog. It's but, you know, I mean, she calms me down. The cat truthfully irritates me, but the dog calms me down. Great books calm me down, getting a hot bath. So you need to find something at night to take care of yourself other than, because I don't believe a lot of that nighttime eating is hunger. In fact, I think most of that nighttime eating is not hunger. I think that nighttime eating is boredom or needing to kind of like take it down and calm down and not having other strategies in place. So you need to replace that bad habit with an incompatible one. And again, one of the favorite incompatible ones is getting in the bathtub, because if you're in the bathtub, you're not in the kitchen, right? I mean, I would assume, I'm going to make a leap on that you're probably not in the kitchen in the bathtub. So just stay in the bathtub all night. Now, as far as supplements go, here's what I would tell you is most important thing I could say is get your shake in. Get your shake in every day with fiber. So you've already got that covered. And I think you probably have noticed, and I know we've been getting posts on the forum about this. Makes me so happy. But you save money doing that, right?
I know. Absolutely.
You save time. You save money. And I don't know about you. I'm totally hooked on that chocolate Vegalite. So there you have it. And I will tell everybody on the line, you know, they were going back order. So they Peer Trainer got like a special allotment.
Yeah,
we did that.
JJ absolutely helped with. That was
it would have been hysterical.
Tricky.
Yeah. So the next thing I would go to is vitamin C and B vitamins. And vitamin C is the number one vitamin used by your adrenal glands. And it is critical. First of all, it's like when you get too tired and too stressed and you get sick, well, you've just burned through your vitamin C, and low vitamin C levels going to, like, open your immune system up for attack. So vitamin C, 2 to 5 grams of vitamin C. And I will use a little, you know, the light emergency doesn't have sugar in it, so there's an option. All right. I use the regular emergency if I'm weaning people off of stuff. I'll say use that regular one and throw it in your sparkling water and get off that soda, because it's a way better alternative. But once you get there, just grab the light one. By the way, I'm doing for Halloween. We decorated the house this weekend, so you kind of know what's going on. But,
yeah.
I am doing emergency kids packs, the little, little emergencies, but they're kids. I'm giving those away with tattoos and fangs and, like, eyeball patches and stuff, and not candy. So, and then the other thing is a good B complex. And the one I love that I think I picked out for you guys is that B complex number 12. That's a great one. Also, a B complex with extra pantothene. You guys might want to put that up on your site as well.
Okay.
Because pantothene is really, during stress, you blow out your vitamin C and your B vitamins. And the big bummer there is if you don't have good B vitamin status, you cannot make your neurotransmitters like serotonin, which means you're going to crave more carbs and you're going to have trouble sleeping. You can't make tyrosine, which is your big appetite control, focus, motivation. So, you know, as much as I would say, hey, I'd love to have you do 5-HTP and some theanine, I'm looking at the budget situation, and I will tell you that, you know, the B complex number 12 is inexpensive, big bang for your buck, add that with some emergency and you're good to go. And so I would say either the B complex number 12 or, I'm looking to see what the name of this one is. B complex number 5 that's got more pantothenic acid. And you guys, if you can throw that up.
Yeah, we'll put that up.
Put that up. And then they always want to know ahead of time, and I never know what the heck I'm going to say, so I can't help you there. And just for anybody else on the line, okay, so the next thing is green tea has something called theanine. Now, you're not going to get a ton of it in the green tea, and what I would say is theanine is great for kind of controlling your brain waves. So one of the things I would look at if you could swing it would be look at bringing theanine into the mix, because it's just an amazing product. It's one of the reasons that you can drink green tea that's got caffeine and not feel like completely loaded and buzzed. And what it does is it modifies brainwaves and key neurotransmitters, so it enhances the alpha brainwave activity, which helps relax you. But in a relaxed, I always say it's like the relaxed, focused one. And it also helps with the production of both dopamine and serotonin and GABA. So that's one. I'm going to talk about two other ones, because sometimes I have to take all of them. Quite often I take all of them, actually. So the other one that I take a lot of the time is something called 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan, and it's a precursor to L-tryptophan, and it raises serotonin. So 5-HTP can cross the blood-brain barrier and make serotonin. And that's the little neurotransmitter that's really predominantly in our GI tract. But it helps us with, I always think of serotonin as stop sugar. It helps with the carb cravings. And we know that stress lowers serotonin and dopamine. But when serotonin's low, it just creates even more problems, because it's going to then impact your ability to make melatonin, because when you go down the pathway from tryptophan to 5-HTP to tryptophan to serotonin to melatonin, you don't have enough serotonin, you won't have melatonin, so you won't sleep well. And stress lowers serotonin. Remember, stress also lowers hydrochloric acid, so you can't digest your protein, and you need your protein to make these neurotransmitters too. Stress also lowers dopamine, which you get from tyrosine-rich foods help you make dopamine, is our libido amino acid. So that's quite often why under stress, it's one of the reasons, not all the reasons, of why you just have no desire. So 5-HTP is another one. Then the final one I love is GABA. And GABA is our neurotransmitter. That's our big calming neurotransmitter. It's what gets raised when you have a glass of wine. The problem is if you have multiple glasses of wine, you then can kick in an adrenaline response, so that then causes a blood sugar roller coaster, which is why you wake up at 2 in the morning and you can't sleep. But GABA is another amazing one. But I would say on a budget, vitamin C, Bs, that could be complex number 12 or number 5, and then always using your shake. I mean, there's one thing I've stressed is that that should just be how you roll from here on out, and I think what you found in the 2 weeks is that it's just cheaper, easier, and you feel a lot better doing that. In fact, someone told me the other day, Jackie, they go, well, I'm going on a trip, and I won't be able to bring my shake. I was thinking of just going to one of those commercial juice places. I go, why would you do that? What are
right.
you thinking? A, bring your magic bullet. If for some reason you can't manage to put that in your suitcase, which, come on, just throw out a pair of shoes, then bring a shaker cup. But you're going to go to Jamba Juice and totally wreck your program. How are you going to get any protein there? It's going to be either soy or dairy. They've got eggs. They've got all this juice. It's just a sugar. It's a milkshake. Let's call it what it is.
Well, also, there's so much extra food when you travel, so much food you're not used to. If you can control
makes you feel like
any part of it, exactly.
Yeah,
if
yeah
you can
exactly.
control any part of it, you need to, and you can. So.
Yeah, and that's what I told her, too. I go, why would you? You're going to feel rotten if you do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, right. And especially if it's work, especially when it's work-related, and you have to be so on and so sharp. There's really no other substitute.
I think that's what saves me now that you mention it when I travel. It's like I always travel with my magic bullet.
Yeah, and I know you also travel with your go-to pack so that you don't have to be searching for something that's okay, and then you get tripped up when somebody forgot to mention, that was covered in soy sauce. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's like if you there's so many things you can travel with that really make it easy, but, I mean, the very main basic thing is you always roll with your shakes and fiber, and I mix mine together before I go into a little container, or sometimes I'll put them into a baggies, depends on where, how long I'm going for, my magic bullet, and then my little supplement packs, you know, my daily nutrient packs. I mean, that's your core basics, and then it goes up from there. Okay.
And we'll also put together, and we'll also put together the two packages, because you just mentioned what you would do if you were on a budget, you know, the two things that are really important, and then what you would add if you, you know, could.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think everybody, and by the way, I also created a whole travel program if you want it. I forgot I did that. I wonder where that is.
Let's get that too.
Thanks. Remind me, because I have that. Like,
I will.
I do on the road. Anyway, my personal belief is, and I really think that, first of all, I guess I'm one of those people that I never think of whether I can afford something or not, because I figure especially in the world of health and what you eat, you know, either pay it now or pay it later.
Yeah, it's my health insurance,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, it's like if you figure it out, you'll find a way to pay for it. So, you know, cut the Starbucks and buy the wellness packs. But I think that the bare basics, you should be on a high-quality shake with fiber and a good nutrient pack that's got essential fatty acids, vitamins and minerals, antioxidants, and does not have magnesium, stearate, stearic acid, or ascorbyl palmitate. So, I mean, that's just like step one before you start adding. But any extra stress is always B vitamins and vitamin C. And you got to get good B vitamins, because most of the B vitamins out there, they're not activated, and you won't really get what you need from them. So get the quality.
Okay, so we'll do a couple more questions, and then we'll take something live. The next one was, I have a question concern to add. I haven't lost a single pound on this cleanse. Does anyone else have this same problem?
All righty. You came to the right place. So, and she'd asked that in the one before, but I think she was just overeating. In this one, assuming that you followed this, you know, my area of expertise that I've been working in for 25 years and spent the last real decade running around the country training doctors on this in conferences is weight loss resistance. And it came to me because I was working with clients 25 years ago, and for the first 10 years, I was doing everything the way I was being taught in school, which is doesn't work. You know,
yeah.
High carb, vegetarian, low fat, lots of aerobics diets. Okay, so then I started digging into the research, finding out about burst style training and healthy fats and all these types of things. And what I discovered were that, okay, so let's say you get the eating right, and you're eating right for your genotype, you're eating the right amount of fats and proteins and you know, high fiber non-starchy vegetables and low glycemic high fiber carbs for you, okay? And you're doing burst style training and the right amount of exercise for you based on your genotype too, and you've dealt with your eating behavior traits, things that might slip you up like a sweet tooth. Then there's all these factors that can come into play. Now, one of them, and one of the biggest ones I've seen quickly, is food reactions that create a toxic response, which is what this cleanse is meant to do. So one of the first ones is food sensitivities. Another one could be more chronic toxicity. This is obviously, this cleanse cannot address heavy metal toxicity. That's something that you need to work closely with a healthcare professional on for, you know, it takes 6 months to 2 years to get that out. But those are two areas. Another area, and these I tend to address fairly quickly with people, are stress. Because if you are chronically stressed, this is not acute, I'm talking chronic. If you have chronic stress in your life, which you can do by doing an adrenal salivary index, we can do the test. I think I talked to you about that, Jackie. You can put the test up as stress making you fat. Did I tell you about that? Fat, lose your sex drive, and
yes.
Before your
yep.
time? Okay, mm-hmm. So just remind me on that to get from Susan. But stress, and that initially when you're under stress, what happens is you'll raise cortisol and start to lower DHEA. So you'll start to see your sex drive go down. You can't really build muscle. Your hydrochloric acid goes down. You're not able to digest your protein well. Your serotonin goes down. You start impacting your sleep, which when I think about sleep, I'll talk about that separately, but you start impacting your sleep. And now you're starting to crave more carbs, plus you're tired because you didn't sleep well. So then now you want, you know, sugar and caffeine. What happens when your cortisol's up is that you tend to store more fat around your waistline and you raise the set point for burning it off. Well, what happens under chronic stress is your cortisol keeps coming down. Your body can't keep the production going. Your adrenaline system kicks up. And your adrenaline system at first is kind of good because it helps you burn more fat, but then it starts breaking down muscle. And you'll see people with higher, they've got, you know, like normal cholesterol, you know, good LDL, triglycerides, and their fasting blood sugar is like 100, right? They're eating well, but it's stress. So stress can make you fat even if you're eating correctly. And it's funny because researchers at the University of Chicago found that poor sleep, less than 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep on a nightly basis, put people at risk for obesity even if they were eating well and exercising, because those phenomenons I just described with stress also happen with sleep. One poor night of sleep and you're not as insulin sensitive the next morning. That means your insulin will come up higher than it should, shutting down fat burning. You're not as leptin sensitive, which means your appetite will be bigger. Ghrelin's up, which makes you hungrier. Serotonin's down, which makes you moody and hungry. And we all know this. I mean, I know this. Personally, we all do.
Right, of course.
You know, you don't sleep well, you're hungry, and you don't want to go to the gym. So sleep and stress are another big one. Now, another big one is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth in yeast. This was very interesting. I had a girl come to me. It's Suzanne Summer's stepdaughter came to me. She was 40 pounds overweight. Nothing was working. And she'd been to every guru out there in Beverly Hills, and no one could figure it out. And they kept giving her more probiotics. And I love probiotics, but if you take probiotics and you feel gassy and bloated taking them, it's because you've got small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and you actually could be feeding the bad bacteria too. So in that case, some of the time, depending on how expensive it is, you might be able to start with probiotics, but a lot of times you have to start with killing it off first and then bringing in probiotics. So if you're someone who feels more bloated as the day goes on, whether you eat or not, that could be small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And if you take probiotics and feel more bloated, then you need to back off the probiotics to start with and just use the Berber caps and kill it off 1-3 times a day and kill it off. And then hit yourself with really good. Do that for anywhere from 1 to 3 months and then go into the probiotics for 3 to 6 months. The other side of that is yeast, and quite often if you've got small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and some leaky gut, you get yeast in there as well. And I'm sorry to be put this out there, but if you're a woman with a vaginal yeast infection, you've got systemic yeast. It's just the way it works. And that yeast can make you bloated, hold on to weight, feel fatigued and fuzzy and frazzled, and crave carbs and sugar. That's another one. And then there's two more. One is if you are, you know, a woman 45 to 55 getting into menopause, all hell breaks loose. That's all I can describe because your hormones are going wacky. Or if you're perimenopausal, maybe due to stress in your 30s. I mean, because you start getting perimenopausal early, but if things get really irregular, a lot of times it's due to stress. So that's one side of it, is if you've got hormone imbalances. Same thing happens for men, but it usually happens later, although we're finding with stress some men are getting this in their 40s. Most of the time it's kind of mid-50s that testosterone goes down. And then two other ones, thyroid fatigue. And that is, and this is where it's really important to kind of look beyond just the norm with thyroid, because the thyroid numbers are absolutely stupid. You know, where the thyroid levels for thyroid stimulating hormone to say you're normal are between, I think, 0.2 and 5.2, but ideally you want to be 0.5 to 2. And when you see someone really even over 1.5, you start wondering, but, you know, you see someone who's got a 4 TSH, they're low thyroid function. And you got to look at other symptoms as well, like constipation and high HDL or high LDL and thinning outer third of the eyebrows and yellowing skin, fatigue, cold. But low thyroid's a biggie, and it's not being looked at correctly. You need to look at your TSH plus your free T3 and T4. If you want to have a good interview on this, Jackie, let me know. I can give you one.
Amazing, yeah, absolutely.
Guy. I have an amazing guy on thyroid. He's brilliant. He wrote The Idiot's Guide.
Because a lot of people have issues
so many
with that.
Yeah, he wrote The Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease. He's just fabulous. And then insulin and leptin resistance. Now, quite often this gets fixed when you go on the right type of diet, but not always. And I've had some people that were really high insulin, and you can have your insulin checked by your doctor, and you really want it to be somewhere between. You want your blood sugar ideally to be about 80 and your insulin to be somewhere in the 2 to 5 range. And if you see that your blood sugar is normal but your insulin's high, you got a problem. If your blood sugar's high and your insulin's low, you got a problem. And a lot of times they'll both be elevated. And so if you've got someone with chronic high insulin, chronic insulin resistance, because remember, if your blood sugar is high and your insulin is low, you're insulin resistant as well. If you're one of those people, basically the doors to your fat cells are locked, and you need to heal your insulin resistance before you'll start losing weight. And so that can be things like vitamin D, fish oils, strength training, GLA, EPA, DHA, and GLA, lowering your carbohydrate intake, limiting your fruits to 1 to 2 per day. So there's a variety of things that you can do there. But as you can see, and this is why I was like running around the country speaking so much, is
right.
It's complex. There's a lot to it. But, you know, whenever I hear from someone they haven't lost a pound, this is where I go, okay, let's look at all of these areas and let's figure out which one it is and then, you know, get that part fixed. Because if you've got some kind of metabolic problem, you're going to get stuck. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one other one that I didn't mention, and that is genetics. You know, I do a lot of genetics profiling with people. And some people just have higher obesity indexes, higher risk for obesity, higher risk for weight regain. And one thing I'll tell you about that is it doesn't we say that genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. Just because you have the obesity that puts you, the genetics that put you at risk for obesity doesn't mean that you have to own that. You don't. I've worked with plenty of people who had like everything going on there, but they weren't obese. But I will tell you, if you are one of those people, you get to work a lot harder, you know, but you also want to make sure you're doing things the right way. So long.
Okay.
Sir. Sorry. The other one will be shorter.
That was so good to listen to, because all of us can relate to some of those categories if you think about it, where, wait, I have stress. Wait, I haven't slept well. You know, and it starts to help you see it. There's so many different factors that go into it. And when you start picking it off, you're definitely, you know, making yourself a lot more on a road to real health.
Well, and you'll find, like, for me, I got a couple of those categories. And I thought, is this happening? Because I'm trying to be sympathetic. But, you know, that's not like just because you don't have any of those things right now is you're free and clear. They can happen to you, right?
Yes.
So,
yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so here's number three, and then we'll take some live questions. Number three, getting geared up for the cleanse. I have a concern. I take Wellbutrin antidepressant and Allegra for allergies, and I'm currently on Kelfex to clear up an ugly staph infection. I'm sure none of that is helpful for the cleanse. But since it's not really an option to drop them now, is there anything I should be on the lookout for? I got the full Monty package with the detox and digestive aid, so hopefully that may help.
What I would say with that is she may find that she needs less of these things. So what I would tell you is, especially for allergies, I mean, there's such a link between gluten and allergies and leaky gut and allergies. And in terms of antidepressants, let's say she had low stomach acid and she really, you know, my challenge with antidepressants and like Wellbutrin, something that's going to help with serotonin and dopamine is, so you had this product that you're on, right? Let's say you're on either, you know, an SSRI or an SNRI. SSRIs are things that help raise serotonin. SNRIs are help with like norepinephrine and serotonin, so they help with both sides. Well, why are you low in the first place? And I think that's always the big question that needs to be asked that isn't, and I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if your serotonin is not around well, and then you take a pill that's going to basically push the gas pedal down on the car, but you didn't have a lot of gas left in the tank anyway, what's the point? Don't you need to put more in the gas tank? I mean, am I missing something? I don't think so. So, you know, one thing that could happen here is now that you're actually digesting protein well with your digestive enzymes, you may find that you've got some of the building blocks that your body was needing so desperately that will help you with that, and you don't need as much of it. And that's something you'd work with your doctor on. The other side is, let's say that, you know, the gluten or dairy or any of the more reactive foods were triggering some of the allergenic responses. You may not need the Allegra as much. That would be so awesome. Yahoo! The other thing I really look at, and it's actually a product, there's a product from Thorne called Quercenase. And one of the things I always look at once with someone with allergies is I'm going to look at vitamin C and quercetin, because quercetin is a natural antihistamine, and then fish oil is an anti-inflammatory. So, you know, that's just something to think about. I like quercetin because it also has got some bromelain in there, which also helps reduce inflammation and helps with quercetin being absorbed. But basically, quercetin is going to stabilize the mast cells that, you know, store and release histamine. And ideally, you want to use as least, you know, I am not anti-medications at all. I'm not anti-Western medicine. I think it's like it saves lives. But ideally, we use the least amount of medications as possible because they all have side effects. And anyone on allergy medicine certainly knows that one. So who wants to walk around having to pee all the time and being tired? So hopefully that will help with that. As far as the Keflex goes, one thing I would really look at, too, is, like, up in your garlic. So it's another thing I would look at there. And the Berber cap should help there as well. So that's another positive as well there. So if anything, it just was good timing.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay, now we can take some live calls. Leilani, if we...
Hey, if you guys have, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press *0. Again, that's *0 if you have a question.
Great. And you know what we'll do is we will go on to the next question, and then we can queue that up. So this actually was a question, and it's a follow-up for the first Q&A. In the Q&A call, I was the one addicted to dried mangoes. I also have the symptoms of bloat and fullness. JJ referred me to purchasing probiotics, Biogest, Berber Cap, because I'm a college student. I don't have extra money for these things. However, I did purchase this cleanse program because I felt the need to stop the GI problems I've had that have been reappearing frequently since the eighth grade. It was ninth grade that when trying to solve issues such as abdominal pain, bloating, fatigue, IBS, doctors removed my gallbladder. The doctors were correct in seeing that my GI discomfort was related to food, but the surgery did not solve my issue.
Can I pause? If the discomfort's related to food, why did they take her gallbladder out? Why didn't they?
The stories that I hear are...
Well, I have one client who had to have a colostomy, and she was celiac. They missed it. So, I mean, it's just, it just bugs me so much. Anyway, okay, back to this.
So I finally took it upon myself to remove all processed foods so as to eliminate preservatives and additives. I only eat vegetables, fruit, dried mangoes was my own food group, beans, nuts, seeds, some meat, only when I know the source. Money's tight, but health is my priority. I would like something sustainable that is whole food. Is there vegetable, fruit, nut, or seed I can incorporate into my shakes and meals to eliminate my distress instead of purchasing more pills? Also, the mangoes I've been eating so much of are sulfur and sugar-free. The ingredients are solely mangoes.
Let's stop this right now. They're not sugar-free, honey. They're condensed sugar. Fruit is sugar. It's not sugar-free. And mangoes are tropical fruits. They're one of the highest glycemic index, and then you dry them. And you said right next thing, she goes, I realize this is candy, but they are. So don't say they're sugar-free because they're not.
Right, and it's finally out of my house, which is good. But I'm so addicted that I never had a problem keeping them out of the house because the same day I bought them, I would finish them all off, then find an excuse to go to the store again. I do something similar with pistachios, and I believe it's the feeling of reaching for a snack and munching. I've tried to give those up, and I consistently fail. I have so much self-control to eat a plant-based diet and resist the copious amounts of processed foods surrounding me in college. However, I have no control in abstaining from mangoes and pistachios. I'm so glad you responded to me. It made me feel like I finally had have a source to conquer my longstanding GI issues and unusual addictions. This is so perfect because you're really the freaky eaters. Anyway, every time,
everybody's a little bit of
freaky
eaters.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have counted.
Every time I try to discuss this issue with someone, they just say how healthy those foods are. I know that too much of healthy foods is also unhealthy. Thanks so much,
Sarah. Okay, well, first of all, dried mangoes aren't healthy, so let's just get that one right out on the table. It's not healthy. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you just said that because I see people just pile on the dried fruit on their salads.
Dried
and you've talked about
candy.
This before.
You just made your salad dessert. You know, you put dried fruit and glazed walnuts and then like some raspberry
cranberries.
Yeah. Dried fruit is candy. So if you want to sprinkle a little candy on your salad, just know what you're doing. Okay, but, you know, first off, is the lesson is get the enemy out of the house. If there's something that you're losing your mind with, don't bring it home, right? I mean, don't do it. And by the way, the money you save on those dried mangoes, which are expensive, you could be putting to other things.
True.
You know, I look at this, and I obviously, A, can't ever diagnose. I'm not a doctor. But, you know, were this my body, it sounds like either small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or yeast. And especially when I hear you going after the mangoes, and I just wonder if you're going after the mangoes because you are just craving sugar, which is what yeast makes you do. And I honestly do not know a way to kill off yeast well without really hitting it with something like undecanoic acid, which is SF722 from Thorn. Here's the things that you can use that work really well, but I would tell you that, you know, it's not going to be a food. Coconut milk's incredible. It's very good antibacterial, antiviral, same with coconut butter. Fresh raw garlic, and you will reek, is great. And oregano oil is amazing. I remember once my kid had a fungal infection as a baby, so I'm like, oh, cool. So I was like, I know what to do. So I rubbed
You're so lucky.
Oh,
the rest of us just
he's like,
sit there.
Oh, no. Yeah, so I rubbed oregano oil in his head, which he smelled like a pizza. And then I made him drink this glass, and I didn't know. So I put, like, I didn't try it first, which, hello, Mom. It was... I mean, I'm surprised the kid didn't, like, explode. He's like, I can't drink that, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, bad. Anyway, but oregano oil is another easy, really good one. Those are great, but I don't know what's going on here. I love Berber caps because they help restore good, healthy gut bacteria while being a really powerful antibacterial. I love Artemisia or sweet wormwood. And I
love it. I'd also like you to address, because what I'm reading the question is, I don't want to purchase more pills.
Yeah.
And these supplements are not like this pill. Anyway, and I could be wrong, but I was
you've got a health
that.
Problem here. You know, here's the thing. Okay, A, let's do, I'm thinking, Tosh, let's do a video breakdown.
Right, exactly.
Okay, let's do a breakdown. Number one, start with food. Okay, so you want to eat the healthiest things you possibly can. But here's the deal. We are not out in the fields. Okay, so even if you're eating the healthiest things you can, hey, 90% of food right now is some corn or soy in it. You know what I mean? It's like it's
right.
Impossible. Monsanto has just, like, taken over. Okay,
and
so,
the soil.
Oh, it's just, so the soil is demineralized. It's not like we're picking it, the food and eating it right away. It's transported. So even if you were doing your very best, you're not going to get all the nutrients you need from food. You're just not going to do it. Plus, we used to do a lot of manual labor so we could eat a little more calories and we could get more of the stuff we need. And we don't anymore. We sit, right? We don't have to go out and work for our food.
Right.
So, you know, where we used to be active a lot more periods of time during the day, we're not. We can't eat as much. So there ain't no way you can do this without supplementing. Sorry. And the idea of a whole food supplement to me is stupid. Eat the whole foods, then supplement the things that you can't get enough of from the whole food. Right? I mean,
right.
Like, I don't
right.
mean, you know, the only
And JJ has explained this whole thing to me, by the way, very in-depth. I mean, I remember you even told me you had a patient who the pills were still in the – our client was still the pill is still in the digestive tract.
Oh, that was tablets. I mean, there's so much to know about supplements. That's kind of like
right.
It's funny. A lot of these whole food supplements, they'll tell you what amounts of things there are in the pills, but there's no way to stabilize whole foods. So the only ways they can stabilize, make those whole food supplements have that amount, is to jack up the nutrients once they start to make the capsules. And it's like, okay, well, wait a minute, you know.
Then how but, whole, right.
It's no longer whole foods. So, yes, eat whole foods. Do the very best you can on your diet. Make sure you're getting what you need, because some of this, I'm either reading this going, you're not getting what you're needing, which is putting you into a binge situation, or genetically, you know, we have these genetically people who have eating disinhibition or food desire. You might be one of those. And when you know that, you do not get that, put that food in the house. But make sure you're getting enough fat in your diet. Make sure you're getting some low glycemic fruit in your diet, so that you've got what you need. And then I really look at this, and to me, when I see gas and bloating, bloat and fullness, you know, you're either not digesting well, which is digestive enzymes, but it really, especially with your age, highly unlikely. It's probably much more likely that it's yeast overgrowth or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, so common. And as much as, you know, what you do is you follow that yeast-free diet, which is no vinegar, no alcohol, no moldy, yeasty foods, and very little fruit. Berries are really it. Coconut milk, coconut oil being great, garlic being amazing, oil of oregano being great. But then guess what? Supplements. Yeah, and I think everybody needs to take supplements every single day. It's the cheapest form of health insurance that you can do. Everybody needs essential fatty acids, EPA, DHA, and GLA, the only exception being if you're getting in clean, wild fish 5 or more times a week. Rarely see it. And then lots of a good solid vitamin mineral formula with some antioxidants. Everybody needs that. I can't tell you, Jackie. I sound like I'm on such a soapbox today.
No, I really, I have to say, you almost need to be, because what happens is that we hear this and we say, okay, well, that sounds interesting, that sounds good, but until you hear it over and over and over, and then you actually start taking these supplements and you finally start to feel differently, you say, why didn't I listen? Why did it take so many times?
I've spent years, you know, one of the things I've been doing is teaching doctors how to look at nutrient levels through testing. And I've never seen someone who had good levels. And you know what was so interesting is where I started was with looking at doctors who were relatively healthy and nutritionists. I've never seen anyone come in, and a lot of them were taking decent supplements, but not, you know, they still had things like magsterate in them. But I will tell you, I've never seen someone who's taking no supplements and had everything they needed. I've never seen it. And I've done
that to me just speaks volumes, because we all think that we're doing the right thing.
Oh, and I got people thinking they were, I'm going to look great.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was going to look great. And you know what was so amazing is I looked good the first time, and the second time I'd been in a big car accident. And everything went sideways. It destroyed everything. So it's not just, remember, stress blows out your nutrients, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we just don't, or what if you aren't, what if your stomach acid is low? What if you've got leaky gut? You can't absorb.
Well, we're
going to
put this,
well.
I will tell you, we're definitely putting the stress pack up there. I mean, I will just, the stress pack, this is, when you have chronic stress, and
okay,
don't
we'll
we
make
all,
a stress one.
This is it. We're making a stress pack. We just
we'll
have to, because it's just the number one thing you know, how often do you hear that? Okay, so people have been waiting patiently. So,
I know, I'm on a complete rant. I'll behave now.
But we'll take it. Well, and maybe no one, you know, maybe people are just listening and they don't want to ask any questions. So, Leilani, do we have any?
Yes, we do. Our first question comes from Shannon. Shannon, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just have a question about those chia seeds, which I'm throwing in the shakes, and I love them. Do you have to grind them first, or is there any specific?
No, those ones, don't you love them? I'm so
I do love them.
Chia seeds. I'm like a little, you know, I so constantly I'm thinking, would I qualify as a freaky eater? Like, but I love those chia seeds.
The cutest thing.
So, but the thing with chia seeds is they can absorb a ton of water.
Okay.
So they're cool. You can just throw them in, because they just kind of, haven't you seen, they just kind of swell up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, so they swell up, so you're fine. So you do not, they're not like flax seeds that you have to grind them apparently to like crack it open or whatever. Nope, don't have to deal with those little chia deals.
Okay, and then you can throw them in cooking too. I've seen people start to talk about that.
You know,
does that ruin the properties, I'm afraid? Or?
You know, okay, so I just was going through this whole thing because I'm writing my next book. And so, you know, when you're writing a book and things are going to be out there for posterity, you're always like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And so chia and hemp and flax, for a while there, we were using flax to make a crust. And I'm like, I just don't think we should be heating that. And here's the thing. The higher something is in omega-3s, remember, omega-3s are unstable bonds. That's why they're so thermic. That's why we can burn them well, because they're easy to break apart. And so the more omega-3s, anytime you're going to expose it to heat, you're going to have a problem there, right? Which is why you look at nuts, too. And depending on the nut, they also have some omega-3s, because I was playing around with, like, okay, roast, I mean, the raw nut butter versus the roasted nut butter, and what do you tell someone, you know, it's like what on the spectrum, what should you tell them to get? So my feeling is with especially hemp, chia, and flax that have the omega-3s, I don't think we should be heating those. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Gotcha. All right. Thanks
Doesn't
so much.
Doesn't it make sense? Makes sense.
That, well, just, okay. I was afraid to go anywhere with that. Yeah. Okay. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thanks for your question.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So next?
At this time, we have no further questions.
Great. Okay, so we can move on to the next one, which is because I love this one. Because I'm dairy-free, I use cashews and nutritional yeast to create a cheesy flavor. Though I'm not eating this now, when I'm off the cleanse, I avoid nutritional yeast. Is this a common food allergy? I had the same question.
You did?
I do. I have the same question because
gross.
When you go to grocery stores, they always say brewer's yeast, like nutritional
right.
yeast, is the oldest remedy, you know, used in soups. Your grandmother used them. So I'm so glad that this was asked.
Okay, so here's the deal, and it's interesting because the B vitamins we use are yeast-free because one of the places you have to watch for yeast is in B vitamins. And if you have a yeast overgrowth, obviously dietary yeast, yeast overgrowth in your body is not the same as the yeast in the food you're eating, okay? You're not eating candida. Just want to clear that up because some people I get asked that. However, if you do have a tendency to get yeast overgrowth, you don't want to be eating yeasty foods. It turns out, like my 10 foods that I have people pull out of their diet that are holding their health hostage, yeast is one of them because it does tend to be a more reactive food. So what I would tell you is you need to challenge it. Now that you've gone through this, is now that you've pulled everything out, you know, test it and see how you feel. Because there are definitely some benefits to nutritional yeast, but, you know, you also could react to it and feel crappy.
And nutritional yeast is the same as brewer's yeast, correct?
Brewer's yeast. Now, here's the other thing. I would be really careful. One of the things I like people to do is rotate their nuts, not have the same nuts every single day. So that's one thing I would tell you. And so, and I really wouldn't get into like cashews with brewer's yeast every day.
Now, doesn't cashew have the same potential mold problems that peanuts do, or no?
Peanuts are higher than all the nuts have a chance of it, but peanuts are actually legumes and they have the highest risk of it.
Okay. Okay.
So, but peanuts
Great.
Are kind of, you know, I strike them down for a couple reasons.
Do you want to say why? I know you've already said it a couple times.
Well, because they're a legume,
okay,
not a nut.
It.
They have a different fatty acid profile.
Okay. So the next one, I can't believe I have to read. Hi, Jackie and JJ. This is gross, this is gross, but here goes. My poo breaks in half. The other half takes forever to eliminate. Do you know why? Also, I go every day at 2 p.m. Just curious why.
I don't know, unless that's a time that you've kind of given yourself permission to, like, relax, or depending on how, if you didn't eat much at breakfast and you're eating a bigger lunch and that's kind of triggering peristalsis, I don't know. That would be my guess there. There is actually a term for that thing there where, you're having trouble, there's some stuff left in there. I forget the name of it. Because I had a client with that. But what I would do is I'd say, I think you need some work here on your poop. This is not okay, especially if you're only going at 2 every day. I'd really look at, like, getting something going in the morning, and I almost wonder, like, are you not giving yourself enough time in the morning? Are you having that shake in the morning? Maybe you need some warm liquid in the morning. Are you getting enough fiber in? Can we titrate it up to make sure you're doing 50 grams or more a day? Should we try some magnesium citrate at night? You know, did I give all my techniques for better poops? I did somewhere in the program, right?
I believe so.
I can write down them
I think
again.
It was I think it was in class 2. But
yeah. So I review class 2 because I went through the poop thing because I think that you need to work on your pooping a bit here. I would not give you like an A+ on the stool survey is what I would say.
Okay.
So I would look at all those behaviors, everything from making sure you're taking time to drinking enough water to increasing your fiber to maybe adding some prunes in the morning to upping to doing some vitamin C with magnesium at night. That's why I love magnesium citrate. I would look at all of those things, getting the exercise in, et cetera.
Okay. All right, so the next one. Hi, Jackie. I'm wondering why my measurements have stayed the same even though I've lost 5 pounds. Any ideas, Monica?
I would say stay the course, because probably that one will adjust itself here in a little bit, because that doesn't make sense unless you've got small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and you're just air bloated and that's causing problems as opposed to fluid bloated, right? So, one, I'd wonder about that, and two, your clothes must be fitting you differently, because you're not measuring your entire body at every spot. You're measuring at, you know, two spots. So I'm just wondering if those two spots didn't see as big of a change as, say, maybe like above your hips or below your belly button or around your chest. Some, where we lose weight and how we lose weight first is very genetic. Some people lose it first off their boobs. Some people lose it first off the tush. So might be that you've lost it somewhere else. If you find as you're losing weight that you're not losing it off your waist, and you're losing it everywhere else, that's and I don't know if I mentioned this, but I think I did in that.
You have, yeah. But it's always good to mention again.
You know, that's a sign of weight loss resistance, and that's where you have to think about either stress, cortisol issues, or insulin issues that are making you hold on to store and hold on to fat around your midsection, hold on to the abdominal pro-inflammatory fat, which is a bad thing.
Okay, so next one. I have a question in case I can't make the week three call. I started a cleanse the week late, but I've been following it closely. I feel good, a definite improvement, but I don't notice a huge difference in my skin or my bowel movements or anything like that. Is it possible that my body may just be taking a while to get going? I've lost 4 pounds after 5 days, which, by the way, it's fantastic.
But she got a period, so maybe it's like two. Who knows?
Oh, okay. But I know that some of it may be related to water weight. Oh, lost, TMI alert. I got it. Okay, is it possible I'm not that sensitive to soy, gluten, wheat, dairy, et cetera? Thanks. Freckle.
It is, but it's only been 5 days. So, you know, what I'd say is you haven't given it enough time yet to know. Number one, it is highly unlikely that you aren't reacting to something. 70% of the people that I check just with the test react to something, and there's a lot of different ways to react just besides, you know, food reactions. I mean, when you look at lactose intolerance alone, it is so prevalent, it's crazy. So besides just IgG sensitivities, there's other things too. So, I mean, where I see just IgG sensitivities to these things, wheat, dairy, eggs, soy, corn, peanuts, et cetera, especially eggs and dairy, of course, there's other reactions as well. So it could be that you're like, I call him George Burns, and you could smoke and drink and stay out too late and eat crap and be perfect, but
yeah,
he's the exception. And so when you look at it and you go, okay, you've lost 4 pounds after 5 days. Now, I don't know how much you usually gain during your period, but average is you know, 1 or 2 pounds. So already that's a huge shift. And you know, as far as a huge difference in your skin or bowel movements, well, it just depends if you have really bad skin to begin with or if your skin looks good to begin with, if you had problems with your bowel movements to begin with or you had good bowel movements. So it also depends where you're starting from and how bad your diet was. One thing about bowel movements, too, if you don't see a big improvement, if you're someone who, let's say, was going every other day and you're not going 1 to 3 times a day doing this program, you need to consider hypothyroidism because that's such a classic sign of it.
Good. And so what do? You just go to the doctor if you have that?
You go to the doctor. I would love you to do. I'll give you my expert on this. But you go to the doctor and you're going to get a TSH, free T3 and free T4 and thyroid antibodies, and he's going to try to fight you on this. And at the very least, you must have a free T3 and free T4 with that TSH. They will try to not do that free T3 and throw a hissy fit and don't leave till you have it.
Well, that's really good advice, because I know a lot of people have struggles when they go to the physician and they ask for things, and the physician says, you know, where'd you get that information, and are you reading, you know, looking things up in Google again? And you really have to stick your ground when you walk into a physician, because it really, there's so many physicians that you can have a great relationship with and are very open to helping you also explore what's going on with you. So I'm glad you said that. Just so people can stick their ground. It's so important.
Yeah, you know, we're the consumer here. That's what I'm always amazed of, is we go in there and we come out like, okay, well, no, you said I couldn't have that. I'm like,
right.
Wait a minute, you can have it. You might have to pay for it, but you
right.
get it.
So right,
like,
exactly.
If you said that, go somewhere else.
Yeah, and don't be there really are, just like in every profession, there are people that it's easier to work with and are more open, and then there are people that just want to do it the same way because if it isn't broken, don't fix it. And it's really worth taking the time to find someone who will listen to you and will help you figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah,
I know
you
I'm,
have to do this. I mean, this is really, really big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I remember having an issue for 2 full years going from doctor to doctor, and doctors were saying I was crazy. You know, it was something called, finally I found out it was interstitial cystitis, but it took me a full 2 years, and I kept saying to the physicians, I think this is something I have. And they're like, no, it's definitely not that. So, you know, it's worth it to find somebody who will work with you and finally say, yes, I've dealt with this before. Anyway, so the next question, which is a little bit cryptic, and I'll show you where this came from our customer service. Someone said, you know, I eat edamame all the time. You know, you guys have always said that was unlimited, and as peer trainer, and peer trainer said, well, we didn't know when we said it was unlimited how much people would really read into unlimited.
Oh, I could have told you that one.
She, we said we had no idea how much people go overboard. So she wrote back, how overboard is overboard in the case of edamame? It's a great bean. I use it as a go-to food in the evenings. I'm guessing probably every evening. What is acceptable? Thank you, Kathy.
It's not a great bean. So let's just get that one straight out. Okay, so here's the deal. Make darn sure you're getting it organic, because 90% of all soy production now is not, which is sickening. And the unfortunate thing is, because of the cross-contamination, I'm not sure any is. Okay, so that's number one. I can give you this whole soy story interview if you want it from Kayla Daniels, and you can post this. Okay.
That oh, no, it's but we have
oh, that's
it
right.
Bonus.
We have a bonus.
Yes.
So
yes,
listen,
so
you need to
first.
Listen. I would say that whoever wrote this has not listened to that, because if you listen to that, I don't think you'd be asking this question. First of all, besides the reactivity, you know, this is 1,000 years old. Most of our food that we're eating is 5 to 10,000 years old. If you're really eating more along the way, I teach to eat, it's more, it's 10,000 plus. It's very new to our food supply. It's genetically modified, and it's an endocrine disruptor. It's high in phytates, especially edamame, because it hasn't been fermented. It's very high in phytic acid, which blocks mineral absorption. Okay, so there's one problem. Number two, it's got the hormone effects. It can lower thyroid function. It's estrogenic. So that's another one. I certainly wouldn't be having my kids snacking on it all the time. I could see if you're at a sushi bar once or twice a month having some edamame, but it should not be a go-to food at all.
And,
besides the fact that it's carby, it's fat, carbs, and protein. So I like that it's that blend, but it's like that's definitely not something you want to be eating unlimited amounts of. And I understand, and you would never know this, Jackie, unless you have been in the position where you tell people they can have unlimited amounts, and you see what people are really capable of.
Oh, I had no. I mean, we just didn't know. And it's good to know that you. It was good to find that out. It was, but yeah, unlimited. And I think it's just a completely different definition for everybody.
It's always assumed that people will take you at your word.
Yes, yeah, we definitely got that. So I'm glad you – and it's true. Please, she just referenced the bonus that she did with Kayla Daniel. It's right in the Get Started. It's right there. I know it seems like, 45 minutes. I don't have – what happens is you download the video and you're excited, and then suddenly you see how long the counter is, or, you know, you see that and you go, oh, I don't have 45 minutes. This is the kind of thing that you do have the 45 minutes at when you're in the bath or when you're doing something else. You don't have to only be focused.
I download all the stuff on my iPod, and it's what I listen to at the gym.
That's a great that's a phenomenal suggestion. For me, I just do it while I'm doing other things, because for me, I always have to listen to things several times anyway, because I'll always learn something else. So it doesn't, don't use the time as an excuse is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we make time for what's important to us, so time is not is always silly.
Yeah, I mean, and just do listen to it while you're doing something else. If you don't catch every little thing, it's fine. You'll catch it again another time. All right, so the next question is, I have a question. During this cleanse, I wanted alcohol more than ever. I could have related to that a little bit. Was it because I wasn't having
all? Jackie, did she write this?
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Well, no, I don't usually eat carby yumminess. Was it because I wasn't having all the carby yumminess I usually have, or are there other reasons? I know I'm not an alcoholic, but I can't seem to stop my wine habit at night. Thank you. I can completely relate
honey,
to that.
Oh, honey, we love you.
I
for being real.
I could, I can totally relate to that.
I can relate to that because, you know what, I work my butt off all day.
Yeah,
and then at
me
night,
too.
It's kind of like that transition. Like, see, right. Men are really good at this. Men have their transition time, but women do not take their transition time. We don't do that. Men walk in the door from wherever they are, and they've got that transition time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about. But,
yeah, I absolutely do. And I absolutely don't have it either. And I
no,
love that you
don't
just
have
said it like that.
Have
yep.
it. So that's exactly like this was the same issue that other girl did. And, you know, if you don't figure out something that you've got to replace a habit with an incompatible one. Now, long term, a little wine at night is fine. Understand that does contain yeast, and it also can really create havoc with if you have yeast overgrowth. So that's why when we look at during cleanse, it's not your best friend during cleanse. However, you know, a glass of red wine at night, long term, I think is a health benefit. It's just you have to watch it, and that's one thing I found is my glass of wine just keeps getting bigger. I'm like, wow, that's it. You know, so I have to really rein it in. So,
and it's funny because I wanted more wine, but I slept so much better. I'm still continuing to sleep so much better. And
yeah,
that
and you're
benefit,
so much more energetic. I mean,
yeah,
that's what you realize. That, it's like go
yeah.
over a glass of wine and your sleep suffers. And so what I would tell you is, do you 100% have to cut the wine out during this thing? It's better if you do, again, because of the yeast thing. But if you had just one glass, I'm not going to pick on you about that. But I would also tell you is to look at this and say, what else am I doing at night that kind of like is my de-stressor taking things down? Because that's what you're probably using it for. It's just your like kind of trigger of like, I'm relaxing now. And what mm-hmm. other things could you put in place there? Besides that,
you know, it's funny, you know, my husband does, he, especially since we were, you know, sleep has been such a focus lately. You know, that whole article of you have to plan your sleep. We plan so many things, you know, we plan parties and, or different kinds of things, but we don't plan our sleep. And just what you just said, he decided he'd start a completely different ritual. He says, you know, he got very specific herbal tea, you know, very specifically said, now I'm making my herbal tea. This is my new ritual before I go to sleep, and it's really helped doing exactly what you're saying is coming up with a completely different habit.
Yeah, and so that's it. And, you know, again, long term, I think a glass of wine, I mean, it's my favorite evening ritual, that with my bath and my chiclet. It's like, love, happy. But there is a big difference between one or two, you know, with your sleep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and the other thing I just want to point out is, I hate to be, I'm like yeast queen today, but you've always got to assume if you have something that's just like, you know, you kind of got to identify here, is it a habit, is it a craving, what is it? But if you feel like it's this craving and you can't stand it, I do want you to consider, look at any of the other things and see if you have anything that's kind of signaling yeast issues.
Okay. So the next question, four part here. The first part, flaxseed. What is the advantage to grinding it fresh as used? Oh, as opposed to buying ground flaxseed, how do you grind it?
So here's the thing. You get a coffee grinder, $10. You can't buy it pre-ground because every time you open it up, it can oxidize. Omega-3s are very easily oxidizable, and that's why you got to grind it and use it. And you can't grind it and save it. When you see it, like if they put ground flaxseed into some of these things, they usually pull all the fat out. So you just have the fiber because the fat's so oxidizable because it's an omega-3. So you've got to buy it freshly. You've got to buy it in whole seed and then freshly grind it. And I love that Dakota Gold. That is like the greatest stuff. That's the only one I use is Dakota Gold. It's from either, I think, South Dakota or North Dakota. It's these small family business out there, and that's what I buy in bulk and then keep in use. Now, as far as the almond butter one, should I buy it?
Yes.
Okay, here's the deal.
So the question was, does it matter if I buy organic raw or organic dry roasted?
Right. So here's the thing. The very best almond butter would be organic raw. The next best would be organic dry roasted. The next best would be raw regular, and the next best would be regular roasted. So you buy the best you can find and afford.
And the next one, this may sound like a dumb question, but when I take fibrous food and blend it in a shake or puree it into soup, I know the nutrients are still there, but have I destroyed the fiber?
Like, where'd it go? Is it still there? Well, I mean, you know, you look at what they've done with white bread. So you've got Now, I don't want anyone to do gluten, but you've got whole grain bread, then you've got kind of like faux whole grain bread, then you've got white bread. What are they doing? They're just breaking down the fiber more and more and more. You know, just like quick cooking oats versus long oats. The more you process it, the more you break down the fiber. So the least amount of processing, just like with pasta, if you're cooking pasta, and the nice thing is with like rice pasta, you have to do this because if you overcook rice pasta, you just have glue, is you want things as al dente, oh, it's an awful, as al dente as possible. So that's what you have to think here is making things, you know, very, very al dente, processing them the least amount as possible. So, you know, now, here's the thing. No one's going to eat like full spinach leaves in their shake. I don't know. Maybe someone would, but ew. So, you know, you kind of got to pick your shots here as well. And plus, I'm throwing in, like, I throw in a big heaping thing of Medibulk. Then I throw in chia seeds. Then I throw in berries. I'm just got spinach to throw in there. I'm such a baby about it. But, you know, by the time I get done with my shake, I've got 20 grams of fiber in there. So I'm not as worried about that. But on the other things, whenever you can, like if you could do a soup and not puree it, if you could do it chunky, all the better.
I mean, I'm just a pureed soup queen. So.
Are you? Well, but here's the thing. Like, let's look at broccoli soup. I'd rather you eat pureed broccoli soup than no broccoli soup.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And you know what? It's funny you just said that. This week, I just didn't feel like making my typical soups. And I said, you know what, though? I want cauliflower soup. For some reason, that's all I wanted. I didn't want to put all the greens in like I usually do. And I said, well, you know what? Better to be having that than something different. You know what I mean, than pizza, although I haven't had pizza. Oh, not at all. I haven't done any of it. And, you know, this is the next best lead into this next question. After 2 weeks of this cleanse, I cannot look at another salad or drink another shake. Vegetables have always been my downfall. I do not like them, and that's capitalized. I feel like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. I have noticed my skin is clearer. I haven't needed, what is that, Prevacade?
Prevacid.
Prevacid,
which is almost
a daily thing. What is that?
Okay, so Prevacid is a PPI, proton pump inhibitor, that you use if you have heartburn, GERD, high stomach acid. Because generally people have that because their stomach acid is actually too low and they're eating the wrong things. The problem with it is it's actually such a nightmare medication that when I saw it, I couldn't believe that we're not thinking of the ramifications of it. And in nearly every case, you'll see people with heartburn because they either have H. pylori if they're younger or low stomach acid if they're older. And I mean only older, 35 or up, or under a lot of stress. It is rare that they have high stomach acid truly and real where they really need to take these things. But in order to fix it, you really need to do this, you know, you need to change your diet, not drink a lot of fluids during meals, slow down your eating, et cetera. The issue is if you take these things, they basically drop your stomach acid down, right? Well, if you don't have enough stomach acid, you can't digest your proteins well. If you can't digest your proteins well, you're going to have bigger molecules. You most certainly are going to have a greater likelihood of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth because your stomach acid isn't there to be the front line of defense against crap coming in. Number two, you're going to have bigger particles, which is more likely you'll have leaky gut, those looser junctions, and things getting out into circulation that shouldn't. So you'll more likely have more food reactivity. And number three, you couldn't break down your foods into their little amino acids that you could then take and go use for building, carrying proteins, building bones, making great hair, skin, and nails, making neurotransmitters. It's very aging. The people I see on them are more likely to have osteoporosis, osteopenia, more likely to be depressed, more likely to have low hormone function, more likely to have food reactivity, more likely to have skin problems. It's a nightmare. In short. And, you know, and so I don't know if the pros outweigh the con. When I read this thing, and I'll read the rest of it, I had one thought. Because it said, I don't know if the pros outweigh the cons. If there was a pill I could take that satisfied me and supplied all my nutritional needs, I would take it in a minute. Food is not fun. It really comes down to a choice. Because what I read here was, you know, my skin's clearer. I didn't need my Prevacid. If you're not sure if the pros didn't outweigh the cons, I don't know what to do here. You really got to get down to what do you want your life to look like? do you want to be, you know, do you want to have accelerated aging or you want to be 10 years younger? Do you want to have a great sex drive or no sex drive? Do you want to have healthy bones or break your hip and be crippled for the rest of your life? Do you want to, you know, do you want to have low hormone function, have to get on hormones before your time? Or, what do you want? Because it's ultimately a choice and it's guided by first what you do with your fork. And so it's sort of like, most people I know, if you said if food had nothing to do with your health, would you have chocolate cake or broccoli? You know, I mean, if you could just choose to live your life however you would you be lying on the sofa having pizza, beer, and watching football, or would you be out working 10 hours a day? You know,
right.
Sort of like,
yeah.
You know, it really comes down to what is it you want. And shifting your attitude, because for me, food is just fuel. I don't really care, because I know that if I eat the wrong things, I feel bad, and I want to feel good, and I've got a lot of stuff to accomplish in this lifetime, and I'm not going to let food hold me back. So for me, food's fuel. I'm going to definitely take the things I need nutritionally with supplements to cover all my bases. And I eat the best things I can. And I'm not looking for, like, I remember my mom saying something like, oh, food's the greatest pleasure in life. And I'm like, if you think food's the greatest pleasure in life, then you have really got, like, I don't know, your life is lacking.
My mom is exactly the same way. Food is her greatest pleasure. And a lot of people say food is their greatest pleasure. And I understand. It doesn't. I understand that is really the reality for people, because I've heard it so many different times. But it does help to realize, like, why is the food so pleasureful? Why is it that after breakfast you're pushing in your chair, you're like, okay, what are we having for lunch? You know, what else?
Well, food's
is
pleasurable
missing?
For a couple reasons. I mean, number one, because if we didn't feel that way, we would never have made it to this part. They had to make us go out and search out food because it used to be really hard to get, and make us gorge ourselves. But
mm-hmm.
it's different now. And then we have all the family traditions and all the emotions tied in with it. And,
right.
You know, food elicits a lot of very pleasurable responses.
Yeah,
but,
and usually you're at a party, and you're usually doing something exactly what you just said with other people. But you can find other ways. You know, for me personally, I would much rather rollerblade. I would much rather go play tennis because of the way it makes me feel versus
exactly.
sitting down to some huge feast. I mean, that's – at the end of the day, you're using – a lot of people that have this attitude towards food, like it's so – you know, I don't want to deal with it. It's because they're changing their state. They're looking to change how they feel. And if you find other things that can change how you feel, because that's what tennis will do, or that's why people do drugs. And that's why sometimes a lot of these people derive so much pleasure from food. If you really look at it as, I'm eating this chocolate sundae because it's going to make me feel differently. If you start to see it through these filters, it can sometimes help you pick other things.
So, I mean, I think the takeaway for this one is, you know, and I've had plenty of people that didn't like vegetables. The choices are to either learn to like them, because I truly believe that even the most picky eater, and I do a lot of genetic testing to look at this, and even the most picky eater can find ones that they like prepared in ways they like them. And so a lot of it's an attitude shift of, how do I make this work for me, right? How do I work this? So that's part of it that I really like to work on. But I think you need to dig deeper and say, why do I want this? And
yes.
See if it's worth it. Because, again, I mean, weigh out the pros and cons. I mean, it's very clear to me that the pros outweigh the cons. But, you know, I mean, maybe they don't for you. I just know what like, I can be Ghost of Christmas Future here, and I know where you're going. So you need to get really clear on that. And, we get to design our own lives. I really believe this in everything we do, whether it's our careers, our family, every single thing we have control, and we have control of our destiny, and nowhere do we have, I mean, we have a lot of control over our health. I think people don't feel empowered that way. But the step one is to take responsibility for it. And if you're living on Prevacid and you're refusing to eat vegetables, you're going to have a lot of health problems. I mean, you're probably looking at, you're not eating vegetables and you're on Prevacid, that's real tough for your bones, and you've got higher risk for cancer, and you can just go down the line. So, I mean, it's just a choice, and that's where you have to start from, because you have to – for me, it's not the how here, it's the why.
And also, before we just move on, also, I just want to add that, you know, it sounds like a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's really easy for you, Jackie, or that's really easy for you, JJ, because that's your life and that's what you do. And I will tell you, if you go, a lot of times if you go ask your friends or say, oh, God, you know, I just don't feel like doing this, your friends say, oh, I know, how ridiculous. In fact, let's just go get nachos now. I mean, let's start tomorrow. And I mean, that's the thing, is that it's almost not cool in so many things with your friends. Many times you'll be talking to your friends, you'll be talking to other moms, you'll be talking to other people, and they say, God, I just want chocolate right now. I know, me too, chocolate's just so amazing. And you don't just go get one square. You literally, you go to Serendipity, and you say, oh, you know what, it's just this one time. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that it's not just easy for me, and JJ, I don't want to speak for you necessarily, but it really is what JJ just said. It really is a choice. It really is the type of thing of, well, I can, you know, go and like be cool with my friends and go, you know, slam down a lot of really bad food and feel really, really bad. Or I can say, you know what, that's exactly what kind of behavior got me to where I am. And when I choose something that I like, that's going to be good for me, I'm going to feel differently. So I just wanted to just insert that, because many times, you know, it seems like, well, JJ, Jackie, you know, you're talking about this, and it sounds like it's so easy, but it's really not. It's so different for me.
But you know what? It's whatever you decide it to be.
Yes,
it is
exactly.
Whatever you decide it to be. I mean, you know, that's all. I mean, so again, I think this so much of this stuff's a mindset, and I think sometimes I get an email like this because someone wants me to talk them into it, and I have no interest in talking anyone into anything because it won't work.
I don't either.
Because it has to come from you, and you have to make it important enough, which means first you see the possibility, which is what a cleanse does, and then you decide you're important enough, worth it enough, because, you know, it's really sad, but I see some people get really motivated when they have cancer and heart disease, and you know what? I think it's better to not have to have that be the motivation, personally.
Right, the doctor's visit. All right, so the next question, another one like this. My question is about the color of poo. Mine is good consistency, but slightly on the yellow side. I've always noticed that my urine will turn yellow because of excess B vitamins after taking my B50 supplement. Does this apply to the poo as well?
No, it does not apply to the poo as well. that's really more about bile flow. When I see that, I get more concerned about bile flow, and I would tell you that you really want to support good bile flow, a good liver function, liver and gallbladder function. I'm going to tell you about I'm throwing another one out here, Jackie. Mm-hmm. But there's a lipotropic formula from Thorne called lipotropine. I can never pronounce anything they write. But it's got choline and methionine and dandelion and burdock and celandine, things that really help support bile flow, liver health, healthy fat metabolism. And that's when I see that's the kidneys are processing the B vitamins. You're peeing the excess. It's actually not you're peeing the excess out. It's actually how they metabolize it that causes that yellow color. I know I've always heard, you're peeing them all out. No, you're not peeing them out. That's just, it's actually just a metabolic process there. But when you see that in your poo, I'd be concerned about bile issues.
Okay.
In fact, I would go to my GI doctor on that one.
Okay, good advice. So next one, thanks for the class. Pre-recorded, I just listened to you. Here are my questions for the next Q&A session. Number one, in the week 3 class, you said you talk more about using whey protein isolate shakes instead of the pea rice protein, but you didn't say much about it. Should we wait until we've gone through the dairy reintroduction to see if we can use whey shakes? I live overseas.
Yeah.
Getting the pea rice shake formula is quite
but
a bit
yeah,
more expensive.
And she wants we gave you what to look for in a shake, so you've got that handout. But,
yeah,
you don't mess with whey till you've done the dairy reintroduction and see if you can handle it. And even if you can handle it, don't do it every day. Rotate it.
If you can tolerate it.
Yeah, I've already answered that. So
okay.
I can't give you brands. I honestly there's so few brands I've found that fit the qualifications. But that's why, since I can't look at every brand across the world, I gave you the,
yeah.
the ones. Okay.
Number three, I was able to go completely off diet sodas during the 14-day cleanse. My husband, who's also doing the cleanse, said over my dead body to stop his Diet Pepsi. Been trying to get him to stop for some time, but he's very opposed. I told him about the problems associated with artificial sweeteners that you mentioned briefly. He just groaned. For years, he has had lots of gut issues, including extreme yeast intolerance. How can I get him to wean himself from diet soda, or is this a lost cause? Could you guide us to some of the science on this? He's a professor. I know research documents might help persuade him.
Here's what I tell him. Is stop it. Let him drink his Diet Coke, because if he wants to, like, destroy his bone health and his gut health, then fine. I mean, his body. You are not going to get him to change. The only one that's going to get him to change, and forget trying to convince him. I have no interest in convincing him. You shouldn't need to convince him. You're barking up the wrong tree, and besides, there is no profit in your hometown. So forget all of that. So let that go. I'm going to give you the information, but here's the thing. You've got a very analytical person who wants to justify his habit, so he will find information back to be able to do so. So, you know, I mean, if he's not willing to change, all you're doing, it's like trying to teach a pig to sing. Stop it. Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, there is plenty of information out there if you just Google diet soda and health risks. I mean, it's all over the Internet. Russell Blaylock, who can be an extremist and say some kind of wacky stuff, but he's got a lot of stuff on aspartame. But if you look up Splenda and GI issues, if you look up aspartame, if you look at phosphoric acid, I mean, it's all over the place. But the thing is, he's got to want to be open to reading it. And what you've just told me right here is all this guy will do is then find the opposite information and justify his habit. So what more does he need to know? He has got gut issues, extreme yeast intolerance, and he won't get off of it. I think I've just let it go and focus on you and stop saying anything. And I got to tell you, Deborah, my guess is if you say nothing and you leave it alone, you say nothing, he might change. Right?
Yeah.
I think that whenever you pick a battle and start doing that, they just, like, dig in more.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Like, don't take away my Diet Coke.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not doing that, honey. Yeah,
yeah.
I can just see it. So forget it. So, all right.
So the net, and you know, thanks so much for offering this cleanse program. My energy levels are amazing, and my skin is much nicer, although at age 60, I'm over the zit years. Now, after I read that, I said, you know,
no, you're not. Adult acne,
yeah,
honey.
Exactly. That's
are
what
you kidding?
It's funny.
I'm 48, and I can get zits like nobody's business if I go off even a little bit. I'm like, damn it.
Right. No. I wanted you to answer that because I thought, you know, I think even people that are 65,
oh, yeah.
60, whatever, just depending
oh, yeah.
on
somehow
their...
I know that's like my skin karma is I'll be like the person who will be like 80 with zits if I go off and have a piece of cheese. You know, although if anyone's thinking I would like to have some dairy, I would go watch the documentary that I made my family. My kids are like, no, not another one of these. But I made them watch Got the Facts on Milk last night, and
uh-huh.
that could stop you from having dairy products real quick.
Uh-huh. Got
uh-huh.
it.
You got to watch that one. Wow.
I know, I do. I'm listening. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, your buddy Dr. Furman's in it.
Oh, I definitely get it.
Yeah, you got to watch that. Anyway, everybody watch that. Okay.
All right, here's the next one. Hi, I don't know if I'm too late for this or not. Well, you're not. My question is this. What do you think may be going on if I have been religiously following the cleanse
program? We've already talked. We've dealt with
this.
This was someone asking a question on weight loss resistance. By the way, as I went through this, I kind of answered some of these questions because I read all through them already.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes, I did this. So number 17 I already answered. Number 15, someone wanted a Fresno doctor, and one of my best girlfriends is in Fresno, Dr. Michael Parsons. The Natural Path Center. So Dr. Michael Parsons, Natural Path Center. And then Stevia, I love this. I heard you all on the subject of sugar and artificial sweeteners, but please say it's okay to use Truvia in the coffee with a touch of coconut milk. It's okay. You know, here's the thing, is if you were really, like, overloading on this stuff, it can cause some calorie dysregulation, but a little bit of it is not going to be, that's, you know, I'm not worried about it. That's fine. Okay, next one.
Next one is how I'd like to know how many times a day should the Berber caps be taken and for how long?
Oh, I already answered that.
Yeah, I think you did too.
The next one, they just wanted to know the cauliflower coconut oil deal. Here's the thing. They want to know if you melt the coconut oil. Well, coconut oil is a you want to get the coconut oil that actually I think it's Nativa, the brand that I get. It's actually liquid. I have the raw stuff that's solid. And it won't actually even melt. I'll use that if I'm going to put it into a shake. But the other stuff is kind of semi-melty, and I use that one. If I keep it out, it stays liquid, and so
yeah,
I don't really melt it. Yeah, so
yeah, same here.
But if you get the stuff that's not melted, that's solid,
yeah,
it doesn't melt. It doesn't.
I don't think I don't think I've ever gotten it. So yeah,
well,
I get it even well.
It's raw stuff, and it's really it's amazing for like rubbing into your cuticles. And
nice.
But it's really delicious. But I would throw a little bit of that into your shake. So I get the, and I believe I'm trying to think which one it is. That I get it on Amazon and drop ship it. So
okay.
That's how I do it. It's delicious with some sea salt. So someone wants to know about fiber supplements because they're not in the U.S., so they can't get Metabolic. So here's the thing. One way to get fiber is to use chia, freshly ground flaxseed meal, or hemp. I generally use a seed and a fiber supplement. If you can find it, there's a product called Sun Fiber that you might be getting able to get outside the United States. There's also Kiwi Fiber is one I'm really looking at right now. This is an up-and-comer. I don't think it's out for a couple months. I'm going to put it in my books out, so that's another one to look at. But I like blends of fiber, especially that are higher in soluble fibers like psyllium and pectins and prune. And that's what you'll see in that fiber blend that I did that I'm using now is I love apple pectins. Apple fiber is very gut healing. Psyllium is soluble, so I'm looking for more of a soluble type of fiber because it's more gut healing and mucilaginous. So that's what I would look for as a blend. Okay. Okay, but so someone here says, please say more about agave, xylitol, stevia, aflatoxins, whey protein. You know what? I feel like we've got five more minutes, but I mean those are like all in the classes. I don't know how much more I can say on them. What do you
right?
Also, what about someone on blood pressure meds who says they can't eat all of the vegetables because of their medications? the only medications that's are Coumadin and Warfarin. It's not blood pressure medications. It's blood thinners. And for them, what they can do is they work with their doctor to manage their ProTime and their prothrombin time, and they can actually, as long as they're very stable with how many vegetables they have or green drinks, they have to be totally stable, and then they can do it. But they have to work with their doctor to do so. I mean, as far as the rest of the stuff, I think maybe just if you went back and listened to the classes again, which I got to tell you, I mean, I have all this stuff on my iPod, and I'm always listening to things over and over again because it's like peeling an onion. So that's what I would recommend.
And then the next one is about pushing your – we kind of answered what you would say to your husband or your fiancé.
Is that my baby for life?
Partner, yes.
Oh, okay.
Meaning my baby for – that's really like a husband or a boyfriend. And then the last one, well, and if we have any other questions. Okay, not so cold –
oh,
not
this
so
is great.
Cold shakes for breakfast in the colder weather. Can they be heated?
Yeah, and I gave you those shake recipes. Are they up?
Yes, they're all up. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I actually wrote out how I make soup with this, and this sounds bizarre, but it's kind of evolved, and it was really like kind of having this just, okay, I'll be out there. So I was having like a total chocolate period meltdown one night, and I was like sniffing around as to what I could do, and so I got some dark black cherries frozen, and I heated them up. And then I stirred in some chocolate protein powder, that Vegalite stuff. Amazing. Now I've messed with it some more. So if you heat up your berries and you can dump in your chocolate Vegalite powder and you can with some coconut milk, it's delicious. You can swirl in a little nut butter. It makes it kind of like a, you know, peanut butter sandwich.
What about like hot chocolate?
You can make – oh, that's another recipe I think I put on there was I did a hot chocolate – you can do a hot chocolate. You can do a hot mocha. So, you know, if you want to have your fruit separate, you could always have a bowl of berries, you know, a cup of berries, and then you could make a hot mocha or something. So you can play around with this. Now, another thing you can do is if you want to do, like, gluten-free oats. I can't personally – if I eat – I'm a low-carb genotype by my genetics, and if I eat oatmeal, I have low blood – I have blood sugar problems. But – if you can handle oatmeal, you could do some liquidy oatmeal made with coconut milk and then dump in protein powder and sprinkle on some, you know, some chopped nuts and do it that way so that you get in your – the oatmeal would count as the carbs, right? And then you'd have protein powder, and then you would have for your protein, and then you would have your healthy fats being your coconut milk and nuts. And that's pretty yummy.
Yum.
That's the other one, too. Yeah, that one's actually really, really good. I just can't, for some reason, you know, you could do that with hot rice cereal, hot oatmeal. So That's another one.
Yeah, it sounds
too.
So good. All right,
but
we have two
I
more
love
minutes.
Making the berry thing. So, I mean, the very hot berry thing I adore. Okay.
Yeah. We have two more minutes. Are there, you know, we have time for one question. Are there any other live questions, Leilani?
Yes, there is. We have one question. Okay, our next question comes from Erica. Erica, go ahead.
Great, thank you. Hi, Jackie. Hi, JJ. I'm doing great on the cleanse, and I'm sleeping better. I've lost 8 pounds, so I'm very, very pleased.
Yay!
Yay! I had a question about the workouts. I've been doing the burst training with swimming and biking, and then last class you talked about strength training. So I'm wondering, I physically can't do two bursts a day or day after each other because I'm wiped out, but can I put in a strength training?
Okay,
like,
so what did you say your name was?
Erica.
You are the best last call to have because I'm going to give you a present. So, because we wanted to actually get a couple of very cool success stories, and then we're going to give the top success stories my Get Fit Fast program. So you will be the first recipient. So you
thank
figure
you
out how this happens. And then everybody else, Jackie, I guess you'll send out an email post on the forum.
Yes,
and we'll grab a couple
absolutely
other people to get my Get
yep
Fit Fast program first. And absolutely, what I love to have people do is burst one day, resistance train the next, and kind of alternate them back and forth. And, again, listen to your body. If you're wiped out, then, you know, take a rest day or just that day is just your move more day or do a restorative yoga day, right? Because you want to mix these things up as much as possible. But
right,
I think you've got it nailed. So,
yes. Yay!
Yay,
congratulations.
Yeah, and my last question is I went through week 3 with the cleanse and my weight kind of plateaued. And I was noticing on the message boards this morning that was kind of a theme going on, so I was wondering if you could address that at all.
Well, when you say week 3, meaning you started to test foods or what?
No, I was continuing with the cleanse. And keeping the low star, the starchy vegetables out. So it was like the same as week 2 and week 3.
Okay, so here's the deal. You're going to initially, remember, this is an anti-inflammatory diet. And
mm-hmm
so what happens when you're eating foods that your body reacts to, when you see that you lose faster weight loss, I know that you had some inflammation problems, right?
Yep.
So you're not going to see that every week.
Right.
So, you know, after that, you sort of strive to 1 to 2 pounds a week. But what you might see in around week 3 is sort of a normalization.
Okay. But
then what I would tell you is, like, that's about what I normally do with people is I give them the first couple of weeks to just move more, maybe add some bursts and get that food going. And then I go, okay, now kick up the exercise. Now that you've gotten that under control, let's just kick up the exercise, which I think intuitively is just what you thought to do. So
mm-hmm
look how smart you are. So that's your next phase. Let's bring that up.
Excellent.
Okay. And
excellent
report in. I want to hear all the, because this is how, this is like, you know, this is what I live for, honestly. It's like I love hearing this stuff.
I haven't felt this good in years.
Oh, yay. Write it out. I want that testimonial. That's just awesome because you'll inspire other
people. Yeah, and your pictures. That'd be awesome.
Excellent.
Sounds great. All right. Well, thank you. Sounds good. We're going to wrap up this call. We're right at the hour and a half mark, and we answered so many questions. And, of course, what JJ was just saying, too, please keep stuff coming in. This is the final Q&A, but, you know, we still have the forum. We still have things, and we're obviously going to be putting up these products. And
and
we
sending
will
out
continue
presents
to communicate and sending
presents
out presents. I love that, JJ. That
yeah
was amazing. That was so
yes
fun.
That's
okay.
Well, what a perfect last call, and yay for
exactly
her.
All right. Okay, great. So thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you in the community.